Rusty Quill presents.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the West Side Fairy Tales Horror and Lit Club. I'm Tyler Bell, your host, writer, creator, author of the West Side Fairy Tales Dark Fiction Horror Podcast, which are probably normally on this feed four, but today this is the Horror and Lit Club episode. These are non-canon, non-fictional episodes. It's just me talking, so you can get to know me a little bit more and hang out with me and enjoy some stuff. On today's program, we're going to be talking about Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mom Died. In German, that is Meine Befreiung aus einer toxischen Mutterdachte Beziehung. I can't ever remember the accent rhythm in German anymore. I don't practice it, but I just thought that was a funny. I have the title of the book pulled up because it's hard. It's I'm Glad My Mom Died. I'm going to say 15 times during this, I'm glad my mom's dead, because literally it's the same words, functionally speaking. I can't keep them separate in my head. I wonder if there is a little bit of articulation difference. You know, I'm glad my mom died is like, I'm glad about that specific event. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad my mom died. Which kind of makes it feel like your mom might still be around, you know, mentally. Like, if you don't think of death as being just the like an absolute finality kind of thing, you know, if you think about it in video game terms, like you died and then you die, right? But you might not stay dead. I mean, even in real life, you know, you could die and then come back, like you get resuscitated and shit. So like sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, I'm glad you died because you OD'd on heroin for 2 seconds and they brought you back with Narcan and like you got your shit back together. I'm kind of glad you had that moment, that rock bottom, and came back. In my mind, which is, you know, I guess maybe that is kind of like, it makes sense for the book, which I'll get into. But I feel like if it was, I'm glad my mom's dead, it really speaks to the ongoing nature of the death. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad she's dead now. Still dead. The her being dead is what's good, as opposed to the moment of dying. I don't know. There's an extremely subtle distinction between those two, which is kind of the things you get into when you're writing. And I wonder if it was intentional or not. It might be. It also might not be. But yeah, the actual title is I'm Glad My Mom Died. And of course, that's by Jeanette McCurdy. And I'll get into that in a bit. But if you don't know, Jeanette McCurdy is the character of Sam Puckett, which I only know from this, the actual character's name, from the Nickelodeon TV show iCarly. I thought iCarly was a Disney Channel show, but it's actually a Nickelodeon show. But we'll get to that in a bit. How the hell are you guys? I haven't talked to you in a little while. I know I've been away. I've been, what is that term? Non-presence. Absentee. I've been an absentee creator. I feel like I apologize for that every 3 months. It's just the way the business is, man. If I was considerably more successful, you know, and I could hire other people to do shit, then I could turn out content much more regularly. But as it stands, I just keep burning out because I'm trying to do other additional things. And I overtax myself, but it's fine because, hey, we're all going to be dead one day. And when I look back on this, I can say I got pretty much everything done, which is, that's what I was trying to do. So it's all good. If you guys haven't been following around, my debut novel, if you guys haven't been following me recently, my debut novel, West by God, is going to be coming out hopefully in October. That's a soft date. I'm pretty sure we could maybe hit it, but we're just kind of wrapping stuff up. It's just getting tight to deadline. And we're going to have to get in, you know, proof copies and stuff of hardbacks and soft covers and stuff. And I don't know if that's actually going to happen on time or not. But like, if it doesn't come out in October, it'll like definitely come out in like November or December. They kind of just gave me an extremely, extremely fucking tight deadline to get the book kind of like finished and rehashed and put back out. But it's fine. I just wish we had a lot more time for like publicity and stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. With all that said, I'm not going to get into it. But anyway, with all that said, you know, keep an eye out for that. Thanks to everybody who showed up for the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter came and the Kickstarter went. I was so stressed out by it. And while I was doing all this work and stuff that I kind of had like a little baby mental breakdown, just a few series of multi-day long panic attacks where I was just like, hey, man, you're gonna hit fucking reality like a brick wall about how fucking small and insignificant all your work is, and you're just gonna hate yourself. I'm like, yeah. I'm excited for that. But thankfully, it didn't really happen. There was a lot of good support from you guys. Thank you very much. Which I know is hard out there, man. It's not economically. It's hard to be a small creator right now because it's just hard to get support from, like, you know, the small people, I guess you would say, just the average human being out there, you know, like, I get it, fucking rent is insane, like, the mortgage on my house is, like, a half of or a third of the average cost of rent of other houses in my neighborhood, which is just, like, it's absurd at this point, like, you're paying $1,600 to rent a one-bedroom, one-bathroom, barely fixed up shotgun house in Germantown, Kentucky. Like, that fucking, that's insane. That's absolutely, absolutely fucking nuts. And I get it, man. You know, like, before the fucking economy tanked, dude, like, Patreon subs were, they're always, you know, they're popping up and shit and here and there. And now, like, man, fucking the goddamn pandemic hit. Everybody's sick. Everybody's fucking kids are here and there. The shit's in chaos, man. I think the worst part is definitely the runaway rent for fucking over people, especially on the low end of things. I think the reason I feel like I really want to even just talk about this is because if you guys have listened to the most recent episode even of Sin Carriers, you know, I wrote that like back during the pandemic and before, I believe. And it was a, how to say this? I guess I did write it during the pandemic, but it wasn't supposed to be like so prescient, but like I get to a point in this episode where, you know, Vicky is talking about, you know, like, hey man, it's hard to be a typewriter salesman out here when people don't have enough extra money for a typewriter, and it's not their fault. They're all still working the same amount of hours, but their dollar's not going as far, and it's not fucking dumb shit like taxes and stuff that's killing them. It's they're fucking paying obnoxious amounts of rent. Like, you want to talk about, like, you complain about taxes, fuck, fine, but like you better be complaining about your 16, like, well, one third, a half, three quarters of your monthly paycheck is going to live in a fucking shit box. Like, I think your fucking anger is directed in the wrong direction, pal. one of the numbers is 10%. The other number is fucking 60%. Like, that's absolutely gnarly, you know? And that shit just needs to get cut out. It's all going to get worse for a little bit. If you guys don't follow all that housing stuff and blah, 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 blah. But like, man, it is, it's rough, and I respect that. So if you're out there and you're like, man, I really wish I could support the podcast, I really, blah, 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 like, I get it. Give me money, but I get it. Oh man. But, as things are going up, I think I'm in a much better headspace now. I had a lot of work to do, man. Basically I'm still technically working on West by God. It's like the last fraction of a percent, you know. But we ended up, there's just two minor changes basically, kind of with like in the spirit of the book, which could have been things that I just took and didn't do shit with, you know. It could have been like, hey, you know, we wish this character was a little bit more like this, and we wish like this aspect of it was a little toned down, a little toned up. And then, you know, you just kind of go through and you just like sort of, you know, polish a window. But I kind of just reinstalled all the windows in the house, which is typical for me. But it's like I really breathed a second life into that book and made it. I think I kind of just caught it up with where I am creatively, and I'm very, very happy with it. And I like the vibe of it different, like completely. It's a completely different vibe now. I'm pretty sure like a lot of you guys have noticed like my writing style has changed up a bit. I mean, it has to, you know, you're going to get better or worse, depending on how you kind of work on yourself creatively over the course of your life and the kind of work that you're doing. And luckily for me, my kind of work is very open for me to do almost anything that I want, because on the flip side, you know, the compensation's not particularly great and I don't actually work for anybody. But like, it has let me kind of figure out where I'm going. And when I started out writing, I had a very journalistic-y style, which I kind of forced a little bit too. Like, I kind of just thought of it as being maybe like being my trademark. I don't know, I can't re-articulate the thoughts of the 27-year-old that was writing some of these things, you know, almost a decade ago. It's definitely a lot more, I'm a lot more like, I guess, in the spirit realm these days, a little less unnecessarily grounded, which I think gives everything a lot more breath. You know, being a grounded writer is cool, but when you're a grounded writer and the ground is your head underneath it, you know, like you're a fucking emo, that's probably not actually as good for you as you think. You know, sometimes being off of the ground gives you a lot more perspective than being on it. And having a mix of both is going to give you the most well-rounded view of a subject in general. There you go. But yeah, all that's going to be coming out soon. we were hashing out stuff with art, hashing out stuff with layout and where things are going to go. And then I'm going to have to try to do a book tour, I guess, around places. I'm going to have those people set me up, and then I'm just going to be doing that for like the next couple of years. And maybe I'll put out a sequel. I don't know. And, you know, I think with that, I'll just jump into it. So recently I read a book called I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. And it's by far the most interesting memoir, you know, tell-all memoir type thing I've ever read in my life. Generally, I'm not remotely interested in Hollywood drama memoirs and stuff. I think most of them are pretty fucking trash, honestly. And usually it's kind of like an end-of-your-life type thing, you know, some washed-up person from two decades ago will kind of come back and start talking about some stuff. Not to say, I guess that technically describes Jeanette McCurdy in a mean way. But when I was working at Media Play, which is kind of my first foray into trying to understand what the hell people buy in the entertainment industry and why they buy it, Media Play was a now defunct and completely basically forgotten store that sold books, music, electronics, and video games. And it was a common thing for the random memoirs to like sell out the first week. And then if you didn't sell out that memoir, every other copy of it was functionally worthless. It was basically pulp. Because everybody wanted to know things, and then they wanted to know them first. And then by the time that information basically like leaked to, you know, out into the mainstream, once it's been distilled and put out there, you know, like every one of those books comes with some random accusation, some revelation about indecency or mistreatment on set or in the studio, something like that. You know, this person was assaulted, this person didn't care about this person, let him get drunk, this person was using their authority to exploit people, that sort of shit. That was basically all those books kind of boiled down to, and it's none of it's like new information for me in any way that I like value in particular. You know, it's nothing that is like, oh man, yeah, I really care or need to know that like Hollywood is a corrupt fucking shithole of a town. Like everyone knows that. I've seen a million movies, a million TV shows by this time in my life. I know, like I get, yeah, if somebody's a child star, their mom was fucking an insane piece of shit or this or that or that or the other. But I liked the bent on this one. Because it just kind of felt, usually if you write something with a title like this, you kind of can't come back from it. And it's, I'm glad my mom died. You know, obviously, you're really pushing off the title because I don't think there is a lot of interest in Jeanette McCurdy, with all due respect. I mean, I know she's like famous and she's a millionaire, but the crowd that reads books and the crowd that knows who Jeanette McCurdy is and is really concerned with the ongoings of her life is a very thin overlap of two large Venn diagrams. Yeah, I was interested in this because it is like, I'm glad my mom died. And I saw her doing some sit-down interviews. And I really just wanted to see if the title justified it. You know what I mean? If I actually would like get to a point where I'm like, hell, okay, you know what? I'm glad your mom died too. I think I feel like that's the challenge kind of offered up by this title. And it's very interesting, you know. When I was working at a Media Play, I'd see the other ones that would come out. I think the particularly large ones that came out when I was working there were the, like, I think it was, like, the guy from Motley Crue's big tell-all about, like, the 1980s, which is just kind of like, yo, we did drugs and shit kind of deal. And, you know, hey, I'm a millionaire, but also no one listens to my music anymore. That kind of thing. I think there was one about.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think there's one about Kurt Cobain, but obviously he didn't write it because he shot himself a decade earlier. And I think that might have been called Scar Tissue. Scar Tissue, if I remember correctly, was the popular one. And then I think at least once a year, a female presenter type, not quite like an anchor woman, but some woman who is a personality on a sit-down daytime TV show would put out one of these. And it would be I think I picked up one of them. I can't even remember who it was from. Some random. Just imagine a cream-colored pantsuit in the 2000s and then just put any fucking head onto that pantsuit and it's that person. And it was just it's just bullshit, you know. Little did I know that, blah, blah, blah. It's mommy blog stuff, really. Little did I know it was going to be this hard to have a child who would do some random small child thing that I'm getting used to now. Blah, 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 blah. And I guess those are they fit into the a genre that I don't think has been maybe outspokenly established, but probably somebody knows, has an understanding that it exists. And I think it's just cozy memoirs. And then we would put those on the shelves and those would be blah, 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 blah. And then if you didn't sell them all, pulp, no one would be coming in 2 weeks from then to pick one of those up. And if they did, it would be rare. I don't even think generally they carry a lot of memoirs unless they're particularly notable at libraries and stuff, because honestly, within 2 or 3 weeks, usually of them being released, nobody gives a shit anymore. I think this Jeanette McCurdy one actually will have some staying power, though, because it really does. By the time you get to the end of this, you're like, man, I'm fucking glad your mom died, too. I would have traveled back in time to shoot that bitch if I had the fucking power. It's heavy spoilers from here on out, and I'm going to talk about what I like about it, what I don't like. So if you want to go and read Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mom Died, it's out there. It's available. Go check it out. It says here Audible. It's $11.80, and you can get it in hardcover for $20, Kindle for $15. So very, very, very available. So if you don't know who Jeanette McCurdy is, I wouldn't have been able to tell you her name. I just recognized her face, sort of, kind of, because she was Sam Puckett on iCarly back in the early, mid-2000s. It was a Nickelodeon show that I never watched. I think my little sister, who's about 6.5 years younger than me, had some degree of passing interest. But when this show came out, it was either I was in the military. Let's see, actually, when did iCarly begin? iCarly started in 2007. So I was on my second deployment. I was in Ramadi, Iraq when this fucking show started. It's about Carly Shay, who has an internet show. It becomes an instant smash. And then she has her friends Sam and Freddie and her quirky older brother Spencer to cope with her new found success. Teen sitcom. Literally profoundly uninteresting to me. You know, it's one of those shows from that era. I guess maybe they still make them, but I don't think they make them as much anymore because A, the cat's out of the bag, and B, you can do it in easier ways. So basically, in the 2000s, in the 90s especially, though, there was this idea. So basically, there was these two kids called the Olsen twins, right? And in the early 90s, these twins became this sort of insane zeitgeist phenomena, even though they were just children. There were two little girls. They were blonde. No technical acting ability to speak of. Literally not a single interesting role in their entire careers. No drama things that I can remember that were particularly we needed those kids specifically. I think their biggest thing that in the mainstream that they were on was the Full House sitcom, right? In which they were completely negligible additions to the cast. It could have been any other set of children there. But where they really made their bones were in these dog shit fucking ABC Family mini movies, right? Of which they made a relentless onslaught amount of. And basically, it was the networks and the studios found that they had just kind of a really generic charm to them. They were easy to watch, easy on the eyes. They could giggle a little bit, and they were just two little cutesy fucks. And you could figure out whatever the fuck was coming up, if it was Labor Day, if it was Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, any time where everybody would have to take the time off, you know, and turn on some bullshit to get the kids to shut the fuck up on the TV. There was a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen TV show available for you. It was a little movie, 90 minutes to 100 minutes runtime, cowboys and Indians. Shot on the cheap, literally maybe production budgets of fucking a dollar. You know what I mean? Two or three sets, almost no motion, five adult actors. And then these two just running around discovering, you know, fucking Indian burial grounds and fucking trying to find horses and shit. If I can remember, the one was Mary-Kate and Ashley Go West kind of thing, you know. These kind of vehicle movies were really popular in the 1990s. The Ernest movies are in the same sort of category. You had the Ernest Does Whatever. And it was just basically Ernest and then a situation, you know. So it's that character or those characters in a certain situation for 90 some odd minutes. Maybe there's a special guest star from some guy, usually some chubby washed up comedian from the 1960s that your grandparents remembered, oh, it's this fucking dude. He'd show up and be somebody's crotchety grandpa or something. Or you'd get some lady from one of the major soap operas that were on at the time to be their mom. And that would kind of draw everything together. And in making these, they kind of fucking clinched all of the leftover market of everything that wasn't good basically belonged to Mary-Kate and Ashley. And they became billionaires before they turned like 12. They were two billionaires. Ton of fucking money. And they were easy to work with because they're kids. You just made a shitload of money. You didn't have to really worry that much, I guess, if you're a creator or a studio, about them suddenly developing some sort of issue. Obviously, they're not going to try to fuck all the people that are younger than them because there's not that many. And also, they're 12. So you don't have to worry about the typical Hollywood things of sudden massive drug overdose, sexual assault of junior employees, or just, I don't know, random mental illness and like murder, suicides, shit. And they would show up, you make them work, you make a fuckload of money doing almost nothing. And like the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen effect blew up and continued exploding into the 2000s, right? There were a ton of like vehicle children like that when I was a kid, and it would just be a constant effort to make those kids a thing. It was just relentless astroturfing. And now that I know that term, it's like there was no real appeal to them as individuals. A child can't have appeal. It's a fucking child. You know what I'm saying? They're fucking dumb as shit. They have nothing to say. They are not creative. If you like looking at children in like a normal sense, you're like, oh, hey, I like kids giggling and doing cute stuff. That's fine. If you're a creeper, I think there's an unspokenly large audience of people who also appreciate it for that. And I'll get into the Jeanette McCurdy thing. But generally, like, yeah, man, they're super easy to work with. There's not much going on. And it's kind of like a Hallmark aesthetic level of, you know, creativity that goes into it. You churn these things out. I think, like, how many, I got to look at this. Hold on. How many Mary, Kate, and Ashley movies are there? There's at least 20. So, yeah. Let's see, this just random vulture thing. From 1992 to 2004, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen starred in a total of 36 movies. So that's 16 years. They were basically doing like two movies a year. And unironically, most of that is backloaded back into when they were children, because they're older than me by about 3 or 4 years, I think. I can't remember how old the Olsen twins are. Olsen twins age. They turned 37 this June, so they're literally a year older than me. So basically all of the Ashley Olsen, or all the Mary-Kate and Ashley stuff, is like backloaded into the early 90s. So they were probably doing, like I said, 4 or 5 movies a year, basically a quarterly release, and then it kind of slowed down going into 2004, when, you know, they would have been whatever, like 15, 16 years old, and there was really not that much of a draw in watching them as adults. And I think they also were just like, I'm done acting because I've been working so fucking much. But like, these vehicle children became this whole gigantic fucking thing. Like, there was Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who has just completely vanished. Now I'm just looking these people up. Hold on. What is Jonathan? He's definitely older than me. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like, even his actual picture is him as a child. What happened to him? What happened to Jonathan Taylor Thomas? 5'5". He's 41. Lives in, from Bethlehem. He went to Harvard and Columbia. How about that? But that kid was massive, super massive. He was the voice of young Simba in The Lion King. He was Pinocchio in the 1996 film The Adventures of Pinocchio, which I think I kind of vaguely remember. But he was on Tool Time, Toolman Taylor. I think the one I remember, he was also in like dog shit, little quick burner mini movies, one of which my cousin Rachel watched religiously, and it was the Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and he was Tom Sawyer, obviously. And, you know, in addition to these guys, there's just, it's innumerable. I can't even remember them. If you are roughly my age, if you're in your mid-30s or, you know, a little bit older even, and you have like a good memory of the 1990s, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was just vehicle children over and over and over and over and over and over again. You'd be like, look at this kid. He's the, oh, isn't he so cute? And like, it was this insane juggling act where these like morning TV show hosts would be interviewing a fucking child who has nothing to say. There's not a fucking thought in this kid's head that's worth fucking hearing. You know what I mean? It would always be like, you know, what's your biggest concern? Oh, my biggest concern is homework. The whole fucking crowd laughs, you know, but it's just like, you know, they're paying all this big money's floating around to get these people out there. And the process was really, really fucking refined going into the 2000s, because you had a lot of like start and fails back then. Like kids would be started too old, kids would be started too young, you know, and a lot of kids would fall apart. But like Disney, Nickelodeon, I guess, in this thing, but especially Disney, perfected this shit by the 2000s and was just squirting these kids out like fucking poison into the air, just like literally shitting them into existence. And what would happen is you have a little kid, right, who's established themselves in child acting. Maybe they had like a role or two, but you don't want them to get too famous preteen. Once they hit tweens, you start putting them out more and more as like the head of a show. Then they develop a singing career, so that by the time they're around 16-ish, which is like the creepiest age, they can be dancing on stage, shaking their ass a little bit, you know, getting the fucking chud dads that have to watch this shit with their daughters like, oh, maybe I will go to the Miley Cyrus concert. And performing a bunch of really like mid-level to dog shit pop songs that Disney can fucking make a quick buck off of. And then those kids have 2 to 3 years in the limelight. They hit 18 and they fucking vanish like smoke. Disappeared, right? Which is a process I always noticed. And I was always stunned when people would get like excited by this shit. Like adults my age would be like, oh yeah, like this is this blah, 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 blah. Justin Bieber, fucking Selena Gomez, this, that, and the other. You know, and they come and then they fucking go. I think the longest amount of staying power of any of them is Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, who was Hannah Montana and shit, she transitioned into adult music fairly effectively and is not 100% cringe all the time. And if she is cringe, I feel like she's cringe for Miley Cyrus reasons, which I respect. You know, she grew up in a weird fucking situation. Her dad was the achy breaky heart guy. One of the worst fucking songs to have ever been created. If you were alive in the 90s, you saw somebody fucking line dancing to that piece of shit at a wedding. I know I did, relentlessly. Every spring for months and months at a time, it felt like it would never end. Then there's Ariana Grande, who is, I would say, is probably the next biggest, but Ariana Grande is like insufferable, like just absolutely like loathsomely cringe. I hate her music. She killed fucking Mac Miller, didn't she? Or Mac Miller killed himself while they were dating. But fucking, what's his name? Pete Davidson. She made me like Pete Davidson, which that pissed me off. I think Pete Davidson's all right now. But he made the joke about it like, yeah, I can't make fun of my girlfriend, but if I painted myself brown and came up here, because Ariana Grande is white, like white as the fucking driven snow. She's literally just a white girl. So I bring this up basically to kind of set the stage for the book. And I thought about this a few times, and I don't really think I can kind of get into the book and discuss it because I did like it. And I think I should just stick with the things I like and not try to do a full recap. Jeanette McCurdy's like was born in 1992. She was a child actress basically from the time she was six. And the entire book is just like a monstrous dump of trauma onto her, relentless. She never really wanted to be an actress. Only her mom wanted her to do it. And the second she basically like got to a point in her career where she's like, oh, I don't really have to do this anymore. I'm going to stop. She just stopped and has never looked back. And this thing was kind of a fucking, this is probably a nail in the coffin as far as working in Hollywood goes, as far as like, you know, working with like major studios and shit, or going back into the aspects of it, the areas of it where she was like most famous. You know, she's not, she turned down the iCarly reboot and all that sort of stuff. But I think what I like most about it is sort of like, this isn't really, you know, as much a story about Jeanette McCurdy as it is about her mom. I mean, once her mom dies towards the, you know, back end of the novel, obviously they go into it in the aftermath. It's not a real spoiler. She's basically the main character, you know, and then after she dies, like, Jeanette McCurdy becomes more of her own type of person, and like just the controlling aspect of this woman in her life is just insane. I think this is going to be a good book for like deprogramming kids, unironically. And like, it's probably one of those things where if you see somebody and they're like, I really hate that book, you can start being like, why do you hate it? And you might be able to just discover if somebody's a fundamentally evil person, like right off the cut. I liked it a lot, and I think like most things I like, I don't really have much to add to it. It does feel like most memoirs for people that are still young, as Jeanette McCurdy is, and haven't done much in life, unironically. Like, was a child actress, but you know, that's not really something you do. That's something that other people around you are doing, and you are your life is a byproduct of their actions. After that, you know, there's not too much interesting things happening. You know, she's not really building buildings or winning wars or anything of particular note, except for this book, which isn't, you know, a knock against her. It's just the nature of things. So it kind of just delves into her having basically a normal life. You know, she's getting into relationships, trying to overcome the trauma of her fucking mom, and she has a horrible eating disorder that she's getting over. And you know, that just, I think that's kind of interesting that it becomes, you know, once the her mom aspect of it ends, it really does become like the kind of slightly boring, slightly banal musings, basically musings, life and times of just an average woman in her late 20s, early 30s, you know, just kind of bombing around, doing shit, living life. And I guess it's a nice wrap up to the first chunk of a life poorly lived. And hopefully, you know, it kind of comes together for her after that. She did a really good job of kind of articulating things. I really enjoyed that it was not, there was not a lot of misty eyed reminiscence in this. You know, basically every good thing was kind of like couched in the cutting direct bad parts of her life, which are the most interesting. There wasn't like, you know, some of these things you read them, or, you know, you listen to them and hear them online, and you have these trips off into like, oh, how much I love the, you know, for all the bad things, there was a lot of good things. But with Jeanette McCurdy, it's a very direct kind of just assessment of her life. And I enjoyed the shit out of it. Yeah, probably like an 8, 9 out of 10 as far as books go. It's not particularly long. You can pick it up, crack through it. Wish I had more to say about it, but it is pretty much straightforward. Otherwise, you have to just get into and like beat for beat describe the plot start to finish. And there's not like really a lot of parts I enjoyed. It's more aspects of it I enjoyed. I think most of the entirety of the middle part is just super duper gross. A lot of inappropriate relationships. She was out there with Dan Snyder. The Dan Snyder part could have possibly maybe been bigger. That's one thing about iCarly, and I guess maybe to a lesser degree, Victorious, I don't know. It's the one thing I know about iCarly, or the reason I even know about the show, actually, compared to any of the other shows that existed whose commercials I would have seen at the time, you know, or my little sister, or maybe even later on, my little brother might have been watching, is that it... the guy, Dan Schneider, the creator, who's only discussed in this as the creator, I guess, to avoid any possible legal complications or anything, you know, because he is notorious as being one of the creepiest fucking guys in Hollywood that, like, everyone, a lot of people on the internet, especially on like sites and stuff that I went to, were really surprised when he made it to the other side of Me Too without anyone having said anything about him. And it might just be that he's not as creepy as he seems, although he is portrayed in this book as being exceptionally pushy, emotionally abusive, weird as fuck to kids or child actors, you know, even if they're 18. If it's somebody whose career has been in your fucking putty in your hands for a decade, and then, you know, they're stuck in a position where they got to be people pleasing you, and he very clearly is like taking advantage. But the things that are always kind of circulated around the show, I mentioned that I would talk about this earlier and I wanted to get to it, was that it was a little too fetishy and a little too creepy, but only if you knew how to look for it, you know? So it's like the weird people and the weird side of the internet are like, does anybody else know that this show is exceptionally, it feels like it's trying to appeal to both a tween girl audience, okay, that's fine, but also like an audience of really unsettling men with like certain predilections. Because there will be episodes, you know, and you have the normal aspects of the episode, but even Jeanette McCurdy goes into this. She was like 14, 15 years old and not comfortable in a bikini, and yet they had to be in bikinis in this episode. And, you know, you had to try out a bunch of them, and you had to take pictures of all of them to send to the director, which all is, legally speaking, excusable behavior. It's part of putting the show together. But as far as, like, necessary, very hard to get to a point of, like, what is the creative benefit of that? Like, that shit's mad weird. Like, is it actually, like, is the creative nature of what you're doing, your First Amendment rights, I guess you would say, in this circumstance, is it worth being so fucking creepy to a little girl? And I would say no. And, you know, the other stuff, and they don't get in, she doesn't get into this too much, but it's the things I saw when people are like, why does Dan Schneider keep getting away with it? There's a lot of weird foot stuff. He takes pictures of feet and has feet on film of like girls. And it's the girls in the show squishing stuff, putting their feet in things, wiggling stuff between their toes, wiggling their toes in front of the camera, like at a rate approaching Tarantino, if not equal to Tarantino in certain episodes. And it might be that he's weird. No, it's not that might be. He's definitely fucking weird. If that's the product you end up putting out, you got to be weird. If it was me sitting here talking to you guys the way I talk to you all the time, just like this, but for some reason my podcast just had like an exceptional amount, like a bizarre amount of like one weird thing, just like a lot of descriptions of feet everywhere, like, and then her toes and her heels, her blah 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 blah, sticking into the sand, blah blah blah. You would get to a point where you're like, bud, what the fuck? And I mean, if I was filming, like, I'm in fiction. If I was actually going out of my way to like select the specific 15-year-old girl that I want to be doing this, while selecting also her clothing, and then like, you know, getting all that lighting and going really, really all the way out of my way to set up that moment. There's a big multiplier on it, you know? And just fucking Dan Schneider. Look him up. Look up Dan Schneider weird, and it'll be a rabbit hole. You'll be like, wow, how the fuck was this show even on TV? Like, what is this? I remember when I came across like a YouTube video or something that was like the weirdest guy in show business. I'd have to look it up to figure out what the thing is. And I watched / listened to like the 15 minutes of it, and like they had all the receipts. Like, what? How the fuck? But eventually he got taken off of working on shows because he was also like just like a hair temper, abusive guy, and would like yell at people and shit. He had that that cult leader vibe, and Jeanette McCurdy describes it pretty accurately in this, if not outright saying it as that, that he was, he would very rapidly alternate between like big flowery compliments and like negative things about people. He wouldn't ever have like a conversation that didn't feel like it was a joust. So he would always be like, well, you know, you're great. I chose you specifically to be here, but you know, I need to know that you're going to be with me. I need to know that you're going to take direction and that you are going to help me mold you and blah, 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 and like all that kind of shit. And it was mad weird. And eventually she gets betrayed, you know, which everyone knows this is like industry stuff. Like not even industry stuff. Like I'm fucking working Hollywood, but like just well known that, Ariana Grande got jammed into her show, just basically to fucking make Ariana Grande's career. Like literally it was just a vehicle for her. And this was Jeanette McCurdy's show that was supposed to be all for her about her character, Sam Puckett from, iCarly and shit. Whatever. I don't know. I guess it's more iCarly stuff. I don't get it. But it would mostly it was for fucking Ariana Grande to sing and shit. And then she barely even showed up for work and the show was fairly quickly canceled. But it worked long enough for Ariana Grande to get big, which is just, it's just fucking funny to me. Like, that's just cold. Cold as ice. But I would say, yeah, at the end of the day, definitely check out this, check out this memoir. Don't check out many other memoirs. They're generally pretty bad. I would say the only other one that I really, really like is Doug Stanhope's memoir from like 2015, 2016. That goes pretty hard. And then he has a friend of him, Friz, Miska Shubali, has another pretty good one from that era. Although Miska is, his isn't as good. But yeah, I think with all that said, I'm gonna be wrapping this one up. Thanks for stopping in. Thanks for hanging out. And don't forget to hop on to Amazon or wherever you're going to get books. If you have a bookseller in mind near your home, we have full distribution. So if they want to order some copies of this book, tell them and they can get it in stock. So yeah, do that. Do that. Buy the book. Coming soon, West by God, Tyler Bell. Horror thriller mystery set in the deep in the hills of West Virginia. I'm excited about it. I wish I sounded more excited, but I also am feeling very tired because this is a lot of work. It is so much. It is so much fucking work. yeah, but until then, as always, stay safe out there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Something's not quite right in the quiet mountain town of Targrady, West Virginia. Months after a local teen was lynched in the dead of a hot summer night, two men stand charged with murder in what the majority opinion considers to be an open and shut case. But Adelaide Stevenson, a young crime reporter from Charleston, is finding out the smallest cracks in the official narrative run far, far deeper than she could have ever expected. Join Adelaide in West by God as she navigates small-town secrets, the dubious ethics of her own profession, and the dark whispers of an ancient creature, known to some as the Witching Woman, who prowls the shadowed hollers that lie between night and nightmare. Sent on overnight assignment to cover the start of the trial, Adelaide quickly realizes the story she's been told, and been telling, doesn't make sense. Cryptic assertions of a concrete alibi are emailed to her by the family of the accused, Nobody in town seems comfortable discussing the basic facts of the case, and the murder she's been writing about wasn't the only tragic death this summer. Adelaide extends her stay against the wishes of her editor, and her investigations take a complicated and dangerous turn as she discovers the true depths of the mysteries surrounding Targrady. The only real evidence from the night of the murder may lie in the hands of a notorious local crime family led by an enigmatic woman known as the Fetid Queen. Local authorities seem to grow more hostile by the hour, and even Adelaide's own career might not survive this assignment. Featuring an eclectic cast of characters ranging from violent and horrifying to outlandish and fabulous, West by God is a must-read novel for anybody who enjoys Twin Peaks, Stephen King, and all the creepy places you find just off the path in the woods. It is the debut novel of Tyler Bell, a USMC infantry combat veteran, former crime and courts reporter for the Charleston Daily Mail, and creator of the award-winning West Side Fairy Tales horror and dark fiction podcast. Due for release by Henlow Press in October of 2023. Learn more at westsidefairytales.com/westbygod.